John chapter 14, and beginning in verse 16, reading down through verse 18. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. Thank you for this book. It's true, and it hasn't changed forever and ever and won't change forever and ever. When we've been there 10,000 years, this book will still be as true as it is today. And I pray tonight that as we consider the fact that you will not leave us comfortless, but will always be with us, that we will revel in that tonight. We would enjoy our position in Christ tonight, and we would enjoy the Holy Spirit that indwells in each one of us. Thank you for each one that's here. If there's one that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, tonight I pray that they make that decision to receive Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. And the second point of my message this morning, I used a verse from 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, where the Bible says this, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." And I mentioned this morning that that word advocate means somebody that runs to your side and when you stumble, when you fall, and offers help, offers assistance, is willing to pick you up and help you get back on your feet. Now, if you go and you study the Greek, and just so you know, I don't know a lot of Greek. When I mention something from the Greek, it's because I've had to get my Greek dictionary out and look at the word and study the word. And so if you look at that word advocate in the Greek, you'll find that it's a Greek word that and I'm not sure I'm even pronouncing it right, but it's something like paraclete. Paraclete. And if you go back and you read the Greek definition, it's exactly what I mentioned this morning. It's somebody that runs to your side. Somebody that when you stumble and fall, comes to your side and helps you. Now, if you go down to John chapter 14 and verse 16, if you still have your Bibles open, we read it just a moment ago, where it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter." If you go and look at the Greek word for comforter in John chapter 14, 16, it's the same Greek word, paraclete. Somebody that runs to your side. Somebody that when you stumble or fall will be there to help you. Now, if you still got your Bibles open, John chapter 14, verse 26. Verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So here's another verse in the same chapter talking about the Comforter. He's identified as the Holy Ghost, and he's going to be sent by the Father. It's going to be sent in Jesus' name. He's going to be our teacher, this verse says. And he'll bring back to our memory all the things, he's talking to the disciples, but he brings back to their memory all the things that Jesus taught them. Now here's an interesting thing. That word Comforter in verse 26, if you go back to the Greek, is the same Greek word paraclete. Same one as in verse 16, the same one in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Paraclete, somebody that runs to your side and will help you when you fall. Now, chapter 15, verse 26. Chapter 15, verse 26, the Bible says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." So when the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will testify of Jesus. Don't you believe these preachers that say they're in the Spirit and they don't preach Jesus? They're not in the Spirit. If they're in the Holy Spirit, they may be in some spirit, but they're not in the Holy Spirit. If they're in the Holy Spirit, they're going to be preaching Jesus. Now here's an interesting thing. That word Comforter in chapter 15, verse 26, is the same Greek word, paraclete. Same as in 14:26, same as in 14:16, same in 1 John 2:1, paraclete. Advocate, one that runs to your side when you fall to help you. All right, one more. Chapter 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7, where the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This is Jesus talking. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now again, this word Comforter is in the Greek is that same word paraclete. Somebody that runs to your side. All right, now turn back in your Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 18. John chapter 14, verse 18, we read a moment ago. The Bible says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now, we've read four or five different verses here in John that uses the word comforter. And in the Greek, all those words are paraclete. But if you look at the Greek for verse 18, you would think that the first part of that word, comfortless, you would say that would be without the paraclete or without the advocate or without that one that runs to your side. But that word comfort that's used in chapter 18 has a different Greek word as its basis, and it's the Greek word orphanos. O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. Orphanos. It's where we get our English word orphan from. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples in verse 18 of chapter 14 is, "I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you orphans." Tonight I want to speak on the subject, you are not an orphan. And I'm speaking to Christians tonight when I make that statement. If you're saved tonight, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are not an orphan. And I'll tell you what I mean in just a second. Now, if you're not saved tonight, then you need, before you leave this place, to admit that you're a sinner and understand that when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying for your sin. And there is no other way to make peace with God than to come through Christ and what he did on Calvary. And if you're here tonight, you've never done that. Before you leave this place, before you walk out that door, and that'll be in about 25 minutes or so, before you walk out that door, you need to accept what Jesus purchased for you on Calvary. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you not only get the hope of heaven, but one of the greatest gifts that we get is that we get the Comforter that Jesus promised his disciples. Because the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in and takes up residence. Let me talk to you a little bit about it tonight. Jesus loved the disciples. He was almost like a father to them. He solved their problems. He answered their questions. He supplied their needs. He carried their burdens. He gave them their security. He gave them their joy and their peace. In John chapter 14, and I'm going to turn back to it. John chapter 14 was after the Last Supper. We don't usually associate it with the Last Supper, but that's when it was. I don't know if they were still in the upper room or they were walking to the garden. But sometime that last night before he was arrested, Jesus said this to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He was about to leave. And he made this promise to his disciples. "I'm going somewhere and I'm going to go prepare a place for you. But where I'm going, I want you to be with me." But what about the time between when he leaves and when he comes back. I'm sure some of the disciples, James and John, Peter, Andrew, some of the other ones, might have said, well, but what are we going to do between the time you leave and the time you come back to get us? Are we going to be alone? I mean, you've been our master, you've been our teacher, you've been our leader. You've been the one that have helped us in this time that we've been with you. Are we now, because you're going to this place, and we believe your promise that you're going to come back and get us, but what about the time between when you leave and when you come back? Are we going to be alone? Maybe some of them understood that they would die before Jesus would come back, and that he was talking about coming back in the distant future. I don't know. I think most of the disciples believed that he was going to come back in their lifetime. But maybe some of them didn't. And maybe they thought, well, what about the time between when you leave and when we go to heaven, when we die? Are we going to be alone during that time? And so Jesus, anticipating that question, says, and as he teaches in John chapter 14 and then gets down to verse 18, he said, no, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to pray to the Father that he will give you another comforter. I'm going to pray to the Father that he will give you another advocate. I'm going to pray to the Father that he will give you another paraclete. I'm going to pray to the Father that he will give you somebody else, like I've done the past 3.5 years, but I'm going to pray to the Father that he'll give you somebody else that when you fall and when you stumble will run to your side with help. Will run to your side and help you pick up. Now, the one he was talking about is the Holy Spirit. And I want to say tonight that the Holy Spirit does exist. The Holy Spirit is real. And for every Christian tonight, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. I mean, he's part of the Godhead. He's just as much as part of the Godhead as Jesus is. And that part of God lives inside of every single one of us. I'm sure 2 or 3 times today or more, maybe 4 or 5 times today, we've lifted our voice in prayer and we've said, Dear Father. Or we've said, Dear Jesus. But I wonder if we were honest tonight, how many of us would have to say, I haven't spoken one word today to the Holy Spirit. I've talked to God the Father. I've talked to Jesus. I've prayed in Jesus' name today. But I haven't said one word to the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Darrell, I mean, we address God the Father. I mean, we're addressing God when we say that. And we address Jesus. And we're addressing God when we say Jesus. Yes, that's true. But the Trinity, and again, I'm not going to get into a deep discussion tonight about the Trinity, but I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the three-part God. There is 3 distinct personalities that make up the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Son and God the Father, and we ought to give the Holy Spirit of God the same reverence and the same honor and the same fellowship we do to God the Father and God the Son. We're not orphans because the Holy Spirit is with us. And yet, too many times, we live like orphans because we neglect the paraclete, the one that runs to our side, the one that is with us all the time. We ignore him and don't acknowledge his presence. Jesus said, I've been by your side, but I've got to leave. So I'm going to send another to be by your side. Jesus said to his disciples, I've been the one that has comforted you, but I got to leave. So I'm going to send somebody else to be a comfort to you. Jesus says, I've been your encourager. I've been the one when you've gotten discouraged about something that have run to your side and given you a word of encouragement, but I've got to leave. So I'm going to send somebody else to take my place and to be your encourager. And Jesus said, as we read a moment ago, I've taught you the Bible. I've taught you the Word of God. But I've got to leave. But I'm going to send you another to teach you the Bible. And before he left, Jesus gave his disciples another comforter, another paraclete, to do exactly for them what he had done the 3.5 years that they were with him on his earthly ministry. And you know what the good news is? That same comforter that Jesus gave to his disciples to take his place when he left, it's the same one that I have living inside of me tonight on October the 22nd in the year 2000. The same one that Brother Byrne has living in him. The same one that Brother Chuck has living in him. And we can go up and down the aisles. That's the same Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian tonight, it's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same part of God that every single Christian has inside of them tonight. Tonight, there's God living inside of you. And I can get excited about that. And I think we all should get excited. Now, a lot of people think, well, the Holy Spirit wasn't given until Pentecost. We turn over and we read Acts chapter 2. And we read about those 120 people being in the upper room and they were in prayer for 10 days. And then that sound of a mighty rushing wind and those cloven tongues like fire that came and set on them. And they went out and preached. And they preached in different languages. It wasn't, a lot of people say, well, they spoke in tongues. Yes, they spoke in tongues, but it wasn't gibberish that people couldn't understand. It was different languages. You go back and you read Acts chapter 2, and they talk about all the different people that were there, and they said, how can these be? These are ignorant Jewish fishermen and other occupations, and yet we hear them in our own language. That's because God taught the disciples how to speak the different languages of the world. I mean, don't you think God's smart enough to know the different languages of the world? Man, if he can make a donkey to talk, he can make a disciple to speak a different language. Amen? That's the kind of God we have. And so he a lot of people think, well, that's when the Holy Spirit came, was on that day of Pentecost. But I don't think that's right. I think the Holy Spirit came at the resurrection. Because Jesus was here and there for those 50 days. He wasn't, those 50 days between the, he wasn't here. Between the ascension and Pentecost is 50 days. He was gone. He wasn't here. He'd gone back to heaven. And remember, he told his disciples, now don't leave Jerusalem until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people read that will say, that's when the Holy Spirit was given. No, it wasn't. Because he made them a promise. I will not leave you as orphans. Before I leave, there will be somebody to take my place. And the Holy Spirit came when he ascended into heaven, when he went up to be with the Father, and the Holy Spirit was with the disciples. What they realized on Pentecost was they had him and that he could empower them, and they went out and preached. 3,000 people got saved. I think it's time that we got to know the Holy Spirit. And I think it's time that we acknowledged him and reckoned, as it talks about in the book of Romans, to know that he is there. And it's time for us to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, listen to this one statement. There is not one second of your Christian life that you have spent absent from the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been saved for more than 5 years? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you have been saved for more than 10 years? Raise your hand. How many of you have been saved for more than 15 years? Raise your hand. How many of you have been saved more than 20 years? Raise your hand. How many of you have been saved more than 25 years? More than 30 years? More than 35 years? More than 40 years? More than 45 years? 50 years? How long, Helen? 62 years. Do you know there's not one second in those 62 years that you have spent absent from the Holy Spirit? How old were you when you got saved? 11. 11. So when Helen was a little 11-year-old girl, and she accepted Christ as her Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moved into her, took up residence in her, and for the past 62 years, every second of her life, The Holy Spirit has been living with her. And I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care if it's just 1 year, or it's 2 years, or 3 years. Listen to this. You have not spent 1 second of your Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Darrell, I must have, because there's been some times in my Christian life where I didn't do what God wanted me to do. There's been some times I've wandered out into sin. There's been some times I haven't always been obedient. Doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't say that the Holy Spirit only stays with you when you're good and obedient. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit never leaves you. David prayed in Psalm 51 when he committed the sin of adultery and murder. And he was praying for forgiveness from God in chapter 51, Psalm 51. And he begs God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't take your spirit from me. And God never takes his spirit from his children. He's always there. There's not a moment of our life that we live apart from the Holy Spirit. And yet, most of us live like the Christians in Acts chapter 19, where it talks about Paul going to Ephesus, and he found certain Christians there, the Bible says, and he asked this question, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said back to him, we have not so much as heard we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They were Christians. And Paul said, have ye received the Holy Ghost? And they said back to him, we haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit. They were Christians. But they never received him. They never accepted him. They never acknowledged his presence. Can you imagine what it would be like if you went to visit a church and you went in and sat down about midway in the center section and nobody acknowledged your presence? Nobody came up and said, good morning. Nobody came up and said, welcome, we're glad to have you with us. Nobody came up and shook your hand. Nobody acknowledged you. How many of you would go back to a church like that? You say, man, there's something wrong here. Something strange here to go into a church and be totally ignored. To not have a word said to you, not have a word of welcome. I mean, we would say, there's something wrong here, and I probably won't be back. And yet, how many days in our life go by where we completely ignore the person of God that's living inside of us? Let me bring it a little bit closer to home. You that are married tonight, what if tomorrow morning when you got up, your spouse totally ignored you? Didn't say good morning, didn't acknowledge your presence. Say, oh, that's the way it is every day. No, I'm not. Now, come on. But just stop and think about it. I mean, they were there. You could see them, and you tried to talk to them. You tried to interact with them. You even tried to rile them up a little bit just so that they would acknowledge your presence, and they totally ignore you. They don't say a word. It's like you're not in their eyes, in their mind, you are not in the room. You would think there's something wrong. And yet, how many days in our Christian life when a person of the Godhead lives with us do we completely ignore him and not say a word to him and don't acknowledge his presence? The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not just an influence. The Holy Spirit... By the way, now listen. When you went home tonight, and there was a knock on your door, And you opened the door, and there stood Jesus. Jesus, come right in. Sit down. Place of honor. Can I get you something to eat? Can I do something for you? If Jesus came to our house tonight, we would make him the special guest that he should be in our home. We'd turn off the TV. We'd sit and we'd want to hear him. We'd want him to talk to us. This is God's son. We'd be like Mary was when Martha was in the kitchen fixing things. We'd be sitting at Jesus' feet because we would just want to hear him talk. We just want to be around him so that we could feel the love that emanates from his presence. And if Jesus would come to our homes tonight, we would open the door, set him in a seat of honor, sit at his feet, and just be like sponges soaking up everything that he would say to us. You say, Brother Darrell, that won't happen. Jesus won't come to my house tonight. But let me tell you, the third person of the Godhead will come to your house tonight. And he'll be there with you. Whatever you're going to do tonight after church, the Holy Spirit of God will be with you. There's a verse in James chapter 4, verse 5, that I want to... I've only got one point tonight. Only just one point, so I want you to get. James chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says this: the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. You say, well, that's a strange verse. What does that mean? All right, let me tell you. It's the Holy Spirit's job to comfort us. It's the Holy Spirit's job to lead us. It's the Holy Spirit's job to give us strength. It's the Holy Spirit's job to give us understanding. It's the Holy Spirit's job to teach us this book. And I could go on and on and on and list other things. Here's what happens. That's his job. And yet the Holy Spirit looks at us and he sees us going to others for comfort. The Holy Spirit looks at us and he sees us going to others for strength. The Holy Spirit looks at us and he sees us going to others for guidance and direction in our life. The Holy Spirit looks at us and sees us going to others to get an understanding of this book. The Holy Spirit looks at us and sees us going to other sources to get our strength. And the Holy Spirit says, that's my job. That's my job. Why don't you let me help? Why don't you let me do what God sent me here to do? Why don't you let me be your comforter? Why don't you let me be your guide? Why don't you let me be the one that gives you power? Why don't you let me be the one that gives you strength? And he looks as we go to other people, and he looks as we try to do it ourselves. And he lusts to envy. He says, that's what I want to do. That's my job. Let me do it. Let me do it. A teacher that teaches in their own strength, the Holy Spirit comes to him and says, let me help you. That's my job. A husband or a wife that's trying to build a marriage in their own wisdom, the Holy Spirit comes to him and says, that's one of the reasons I'm here. I can help you be a good husband. I can help you be a good wife. Let me do my job. A parent that tries to rear children, or a grandparent that's trying to rear a grandchild in their own wisdom and in their own knowledge and in their own strength, the Holy Spirit looks at them and says, that's why I'm here. Why don't you let me help? and he lusteth to envy. Can you imagine what it would be like to be a father or a mother that would not be allowed to do what they're supposed to do for their child? Can you imagine how our mom or dad might feel if a little 11 or 12-year-old child comes and says, "Dad, Mom, I don't need you anymore. I don't need you to provide for me. I don't need you to protect me. I can just do all of that for myself." Can you imagine what a mom or a dad would feel if their child said, "I don't need anything else from you"? When I was going to GMI, I got to preach for about 4 months up at a small church in Standish. They met in a house, and the auditorium was the garage. And we just put up chairs in the garage, and it was the summer, and the door was open, and sometimes we'd have to put chairs down the driveway. We'd have people that would come. And there was a lady in that church who had multiple sclerosis. And when I got to know her, it had already progressed to the point where she was bound to a wheelchair and basically couldn't do anything with her legs or with her arms. But they were, her husband took very good care of her, and they had one of their daughters that lived in the area. And she was at church every service that I was there. And one Sunday, they invited me for dinner. I go up usually on Saturday night and spend the night, and then spend the whole day Sunday and come back on Sunday night. And that Sunday afternoon, I got to go over and visit with her and her husband. Of course, her daughter was there and her husband, and they did most of the meal preparation and cleaned up afterwards. And I got to sit and visit with her in the living room. And she was telling me about her sickness and how it had progressed, and she was at the point now where she couldn't use her arms or her legs. And I remember her telling me, she says, "You want to know what the toughest part of this disease is? You want to know what the roughest thing about having a disease like this is?" And a little tear came down her cheek. She said, "The toughest part about having a disease like this is I can't do for my husband what I want to do. I can't cook his meals anymore. I can't wash his clothes anymore." And I thought about I wasn't married yet, and I thought about all the times I've heard ladies complain about cooking and washing. And I know I'm not preaching against that tonight. I know sometimes it gets tough and that everyone needs a break. And I'm not saying this tonight as a sexist remark. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that, you know, it's just ladies that are supposed to cook and wash. Don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying tonight was, here was a lady that lost the use of her arms and her legs. And she says, "The toughest part of having this disease is I can't do for my husband what my job is. I can't cook for him. And I can't wash his clothes. And I can't do the other things that I used to do for him that I want to do for him now." She says, "The hardest part is for me is to sit in this wheelchair and watch somebody else do for him what I want to do." And I think that's what the Holy Spirit says to most of us tonight. I came to help you. I came to be your comfort. I came to be your teacher. Don't make me sit and watch. Don't go to other people and have them do for you what I was sent to do for you. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit. God mentions sons, he mentions daughters, he mentions old men, he mentions young men. You know, when I first started preaching, I used to read that verse and say, "Dear God, I'm a young man, I need the Holy Spirit." Now I can read that verse and say, "God, I'm an old man. I still need that Holy Spirit." But he says, servants, and he said, handmaidens. What God's saying in that verse, and I think every single one of us can find one or more of those categories we can fit into, what God's saying, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on everybody that trusts Christ. And that Holy Spirit has things that he wants to do for us. His job. And how we must break his heart day after day after day after day. And we don't even acknowledge his presence. And we don't let him do what he was sent to do. So tonight, I come to you on behalf of the Holy Spirit. He's real. And if you're a Christian tonight, there's a part of God that's going to go home with you and will be with you the rest of your mortal life. Why don't you enjoy his fellowship? Why don't you just take what he has to offer? Why don't you let him do his job? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us this part of you that lives with us forever and ever and ever. Is our teacher, our guide, our help, our strength, our comforter, the one that runs to our side when we fall. I pray tonight that we wouldn't take the Holy Spirit for granted. I pray tonight we wouldn't ignore him. I pray tonight that we wouldn't let a day go by without speaking to this one that lives inside of every Christian. And I pray tonight that we'd let the Holy Spirit do his job. Father, I also pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have salvation. They don't have the hope for heaven. Their sin still separates them from you. And I pray tonight that they would see the Savior. They would see the price that Jesus paid when he went to the cross to pay for their sin. And I pray tonight that they'd receive that wonderful gift that was purchased on Calvary, and they would get the freedom from the penalty of sin. There's just one, Father, I pray tonight that they would come and let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. We'll give Jesus and the Holy Spirit all the glory. For it's in their name we pray. Amen.